Cosmos, okay, just had a friend over discussing what we have written here so far. And yes, there were some question marks. About details, what the Puranas and other old scriptures actually say categorizations there in my table of lokas and then I thought, and I already mentioned at one point around there that I am, for instance, not exactly sure about the placement of Anamaya Kosha and the lokas and all that. But then I remembered that, and we know it, that when you look at, for instance, different classics from India, the Vedic classics and all these different scriptures there, Puranas, the Upanishads, and so on, the Vedanta. And the four Vedas, that there's so many scriptures from there. That yes, sometimes in between cultures, you know, sometimes there are seven worlds, sometimes there are nine in another culture, but so which is the correct one, we Westerners would say, you know, we are very much with their measuring sticks and calculators and all that. But I think that what it's really about is that they are describing the cosmos as they view it and understand it. And, you know, and then there are words and to describe from seeing from that direction, in that direction, looks like that, and and the different lokas and the categories and the delineations between them, you know, which how do all these lokas of Bhuvar, Svarga, Maharajana Tapas, so, you know, that. How do they connect? You know, are they included in the Manamaya or that kind of. And, you know, reality is not like split up into boxes and categories, you know, that we often, maybe Western-minded people, could it be so, are accustomed to do, accustomed of doing. reductionist, cutting down things to pieces and lining them up in nice tables and graphs, and then we have understood something math oriented. Of course, there's other math also, so I shouldn't say that, and the mathematicians get angry at me. But linear math, you could say. But you know, we're looking at a reality here, which just as countries and oceans on Earth has a general structure, and you know, first of all, if you would describe Earth from above, the description would be different depending on where you're located above Earth. Maybe someone would say, no, this is not Earth. My Earth looks like this. No, it's like this. And then they fight, or they could say, yeah, okay, get it. We're looking from different points of view here. So we should expect that, you know, difference, not only in language, but see, you know, for instance, the gods, the Roman gods, the Greek gods, the Indian gods, the Scandinavian gods, and so on. Every culture has their gods with their name, their names, and although we find, yeah, that one kind of fits with that one in the other culture. You got Thor there in Scandinavia, and you've got Indra there, you know, with the thunderbolt, and so on. Then, well, you try and squeeze them in, maybe here and there, but or otherwise you're frustrated that one of them is wrong. But I again believe that we. Down that categorization card box and just try and see with the eyes of those. If you're standing in Scandinavia, try and see with the eyes of the ancient Scandinavians, you know, from where we are here, where I am now, where you go to India, try and see it from there, or China, and then this way learn from each other's original cultures. And I say, including what we're talking about here, cosmology, the basic worldview. You know, when I was a kid, that's the first thing I was questioning and wondering about. What is this world, you know, where I am in now? So I was fascinated by astronomy and physics and biology, you know, our bodies, what, you know, wow. How did they come about? But then, of course, we would serve the general materialistic authorized official theory as the one and only truth. which I, well, accepted like that until I thought, hey, this one and only truth, and this is the only way. I heard it before from the old Christians that I didn't like to hear then, and therefore wasn't following them. Now I keep hearing the same thing. So I would say, I mean, when I was a kid in school, religion was just called Christianity teachings or something like that. And we just learned about Christianity, and maybe, by the way, as an end note, there were other religions in the world, but they were strange and they hadn't understood that Jesus Christ is the only way to the only God, and that their God and prophet were just false prophets and false gods. I mean, we need to raise above that, of course, we humans. And of course, I think most of us, or many of us, have raised above that. But yes, speaking about mythology and that way of seeing things, that way of understanding things, the analogies, the names and faces of the gods and the worlds and all of those symbols and objects and stories. You know, if we modern people think that those came from primitive people, far behind us and outdated a long time ago, and well, I guess some white people in the West would add quietly, but, and you know, these Asians and Africans and American Aborigines, give me a break. You know, that I call it racism and arrogance. And when a person raised on such a worldview, then learns about the worldview of those people and those cultures, which looks so different because it's built on different language, mythology, that is ways of using allegory and examples and symbolism, which we use now today also, but just differently. And then rather than trying to understand the symbolism behind these stories and images, you may then tend to dismiss them. And maybe that's how the word myth came to change its meaning in the 19th century. From what I used here, the meaning I used here, to, and I would take the other one from Etymonline. Just saying.